This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Scheduled to be joined by Kevin McCarthy to talk this weekend's movies, trying to track him down. Should join us in just a bit. Don't forget Neil Greenberg on with us at 7:20. We'll get back into Caps Blue Jackets. John Feinstein, a Friday staple at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy Roenick will join us at 9 a.m.
JR.
Talk more puck.
We haven't talked to JR probably in a year.
It has been a while.
Probably since last year, last playoffs.
Right? Always good to reconnect with Jeremy Roenick.
Got to thank the good people over at the Groomy Lounge and Tyson's Galleria. Went over there yesterday, got fresh cut.
Very good.
My girl Sophia, love her. So head on over to the Groomy Lounge if you need a cut and a shave. Cakes probably needs a little shave now.
I could always use a little touch up.
Yep. Well, you're always welcome over there.
Kevin McCarthy joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. God only knows where he's calling in from. What's up, Kevin? Good morning.
Good morning, Cake Batter. How are you, sir?
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Cake Batter. I miss saying Cake Batter. Can I call you once a week just randomly just and say Cake Batter and hang up?
That's fine.
Okay, good. I'm definitely going to do that. By the way, before we get to the movie reviews, can I just mention one thing? Luckily, over the years, like from being on your show, like people will say hi to me if I'm in a mall or whatever. But yesterday, this gentleman named Dave, I just want to give him a shout out because he's like a massive Junkies listener, and he I guess when he said he moved to Albuquerque for work at one point, he still listened to the podcast. He listens all the time. He loves the show, and he couldn't have been nicer. So just want to give a shout out to him. I know he said he's going to be listening specifically this morning at 7 a.m. So hey, Dave, just want to say hi.
All right, there's your shout out.
Kevin shout out.
So before we get to the movies you've seen, you're going to go see Chappaquiddick tonight, correct?
Yes, and Jason and I have been texting for the past couple days. My schedule has been nuts with like my travel. I went home to visit my brother who just had a baby, so I haven't had a chance to see it yet. But I'm watching Chappaquiddick tonight, and I will text you afterwards, probably around 9-ish. So are you still going to be awake at that point, or are you going to be asleep?
Tonight at 9? No, it's Friday night. I'll be awake.
All right.
What does
Jason Bishop do on a Friday night? They should send a camera home with you and follow you around.
Well, Tuesdays and Fridays, my daughters play softball for their high school. So tonight we have a game tonight at 6. So it'll probably end around 7:30, and then we'll probably go out to dinner somewhere. You know, 8 o'clock, 8:15, and then I'll come home and just watch Big Fat Winners.
Do parents still do the bit where they bring like the snacks to the games? Like when I was a kid, they used to do that. You get like Capri Suns and handy snacks and things like that. Do they still do that?
They're teenagers.
So what? They don't
Capri
do that anymore?
Capri Suns. I mean, seriously.
Oh, why are you sleeping on Capri Suns? I still eat Lunchables twice a week.
Of course
oh
you do. Hey, Kevin, before the reviews, a bit later in the show, we're going to be joined in studio by comedian and actor Lil Rel Howery from Get Out.
You know who that is?
Oh, yeah, dude. First of all, Get Out is one of my favorite movies. Well, my second favorite movie of last year. He's probably the best part of the movie. I mean, there's so many great things about that movie besides the script, but he got probably the biggest crowd element because Jordan Peele said that Lil Rel was kind of the audience. His character is meant to be what the audience would think or do or say mm-hmm. as you're watching a movie. There's a sequence at the end of Get Out. We're a year into this film now, so I don't think you can really spoil it, but he wins the whole movie. I mean, there's the line that he says about being TSA. He's a TSA guy.
Right.
Yeah, he's like friends with Daniel Kaluuya's character. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of miss the whole
crowd element.
I miss the crowd element of movies, Kevin, because I seek out movies where there aren't people. Like, I go at like 11:30 in the morning to a movie.
Yeah.
But there's no crowd there.
The good thing about his character, Cakes, is that he was the crowd. So, yeah. Like, if you watch Get Out at home, Like he's what the audience would be like thinking or saying during the movie. Because when you watch a horror film, you're like, don't go in there, don't do this, don't do that. And he was kind of that smart guy on the phone with Daniel Kaluuya's character the whole time, like saying, get the heck out of there. What are you doing? And even at one point in the middle of the movie, he says that the characters are probably sex slaves. And that's what he says in the movie at one point. And that actually becomes true for some of the characters. So he almost foreshadows a lot of what happens in the film. Like you think it's a joke and he's actually right, which is kind of crazy. It's actually a really good character. It's well written.
Yeah. He's really funny. All right. So yeah. You saw a couple of films. Rampage is one of them with your boy. We've already given our predictions on what you're going to rate it. So why don't we start with Rampage, by the way, getting 54% on Rotten. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, listen, The Rock is, I would say, he's probably the biggest movie star in the world right now. I mean, people go to the movies to watch whatever he's in, which is, you know, it's a rare thing these days. Not many actors have that capability anymore. I mean, look at something like Tom Cruise. People go to see a Tom Cruise movie if it's Mission Impossible, but then you have a film like American Made, which doesn't do well. So, you know, that name power is very hard to come by nowadays. I think DiCaprio probably still has it. The Rock probably has it. Sandra Bullock probably still has it. But George Clooney, people don't go to a movie anymore for George Clooney. They have Suburbicon bombed, unless he's in like an Ocean's movie or something like that. But this film is based on an 80s video game. I didn't play this game. Did you guys remember Rampage with the gorilla? Do you remember that whole game in the 80s?
I remember it. It was a number in the arcades back in the 80s. I remember playing it, though, like a big nerd.
Yeah. I don't remember the game. I mean, I didn't play the game, but if you remember the game in the arcade, if you look closely throughout some of the scenes in the film, you'll find the arcade game, like an actual arcade in someone's office. I mean, the concept of this movie, you kind of have to buy into it to enjoy it. I mean, you have a 30-foot wolf, you have a crocodile the size of a football field, and you have a gorilla that's over 1,000 pounds. They're trying to destroy Chicago. The Rock's character, he adopts or rescues this albino gorilla at a very young age, and after a genetic experiment, he becomes bigger and more and full of rage and tries to destroy Chicago, and Rock tries to save the day. That's the basic plot line. To me, some of the best scenes in the film are the non-action scenes. I mean, the guy who plays George the gorilla, his name is Jason Lyles, very similar to what Andy Serkis did with motion capture. It's very, very cool. And those scenes actually work. The problem is, I don't know why this movie needed 4 screenwriters. I mean, the script is awful. And here's the thing. I have no problem going into a mindless action movie. And you don't look at a movie and you don't go, man, that script is really bad. Sometimes a movie can just be fun on its own, like the Fast and Furious movies. But you have to find a sweet spot. If a script is really bad and it points itself out to the audience and becomes jarring and kind of goes, man, that's a really bad line or something like that, or it's not campy enough, that's when it becomes an issue. Like Fast and Furious understands what it is, and it's completely aware of how ridiculous it is when they're throwing cars out of an airplane, but it somehow works because they find it that sweet spot. This movie finds it sometimes and then doesn't find it, and then it ends up feeling way too long. Rock is fine, and he's charismatic, he's fun in the movie.
I would see Rampage is because Negan's in it.
By the way, and I'm getting to him, so he's the best part of the movie.
Of course, he's a great actor.
His character, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, is so great. His character, I would watch a spinoff of his character. So, like, anytime he's on screen, the movie is working really well. His character's trying to, at first, he's against them, and he tries to help them. It's an interesting character that I would like to find out more about. The problem is it kind of gets muddled all up in this massive CGI action fest towards the end. I mean, listen, there's scenes that work. There's scenes that don't work. When I walked out of it, I said, you know, that was fine. That was just okay. It's not horrible. It's not great. And to me, these are the hardest movies to review because there's nothing really to trash about it. There's nothing really to rave about it. So I'm kind of like right in the middle with a 3, which is just like a C. So I don't think it's great. I don't think it's as bad as Baywatch. I saw somebody say it was better than Baywatch, but not as good as Jumanji. I completely agree with that sentiment. Jumanji was a lot of fun. This is just okay. So, I mean, like, I would go to the matinee if you want to see a big mindless action movie on a big screen. Just know that when you walk out, you're going to go, okay, that was maybe worth like $7, $8, $9, but, you know, you're not going to think about it afterwards.
Wow,
you know?
Kind of shocking. You give a Dwayne Johnson vehicle just a 3. We thought a lock
Three and a half.
Yeah, but three is fine.
No.
Yeah. That's
it means it's terrible.
Three is like a one.
No, yes. Actually, it's not terrible. And if you look at the Rotten Tomatoes.
If you take Negan out, it's probably a one, to be honest. No,
well, first of all, I don't know if you guys are fans of Dwayne Johnson's movies, but like San Andreas and things like that, they have a certain element to them, and they work. I mean, the Rampage reviews are right down the middle. I mean, like I'm probably right in the middle of where everyone is in regards to what they're thinking about. I don't really think anybody's trashing it, and I don't think anybody's really loving it. I mean, if I were you guys, if you want to see it, go for a cheaper ticket. If not, wait for a rental. It's nothing special.
I think the common theme, by the way, in every Dwayne Johnson movie, the thread
is wait for the rental.
Well, no, it's a mindless entertainment.
Well, that, and I think just there's a building falling down in every single Dwayne Johnson movie. There's like a skyscraper. I think his next movie that's coming out is called Skyscraper.
Yeah, it's right. Literally called Skyscraper. It's basically Die Hard with Dwayne Johnson. Now, I will say this. If you look at Dwayne Johnson's career, he's made some great movies. I mean, I thought Rundown was really good. I thought the Pain and Game Michael Bay movie was really solid. Fast Five and Fast and Furious 7 and 8 were all awesome. He's great in the Fast and Furious movies. It's just that this particular film, the issues are so glaring, and you can just tell it has something to do with the script. And it's weird. I don't want to be that guy who's like, hey, the script has to be great for a mindless action movie, but there's a way to do it. And it kind of gets there, but never fully gets there.
The only Rampage I like was an EPMD rap song back in the early 90s. Featuring LL Cool J, by the way.
Kevin, right. Your time is running short. What else do you have left to review, sir?
Truth or Dare, which is the Blumhouse movie. So this is the guy who produced Get Out, as well as Happy Death Day. Basic concept here is it's a group of college students who are on spring break. A Truth or Dare game is introduced to them, but it's a deadly version of it. So basically, like it's like essentially a curse. So if somebody gives you a Truth or Dare, it could be something along the lines of, like, there's one dare in the film where a girl has to drink an entire bottle of vodka while walking around the roof of her house without falling off. And if not, if she doesn't do it, she dies. So basically the whole concept is if you don't follow through with the truth or the dare, you die. And it's kind of a cool concept in regards to like a Final Destination type of film. The problem is the entire movie is ruined by a horrific character arc and decision that a character has toward the end of the movie that made absolutely no sense. And I'm sitting there in this movie, I'm like, this is intriguing. This is kind of fun. This is interesting. I've never seen anything like this before. I mean, in a Final Destination type of thing, but it was an interesting take on it. But then when you get to the end of the movie, it's like, what the heck just happened? It made no sense. And it actually angered me. I think I was at like a 3 or 3.5 initially. And then I was like, okay, this just got really awful. So I went down to a 2 out of 5. And it just, it didn't deliver. So I would not waste your money on this one. If it comes on HBO or something like that, or Netflix or whatever, maybe watch it there for some of the intriguing qualities of it. But
it was time. Bickle, it was time.
That was Kevin McCarthy.
It just was.
You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin McCarthy TV. And it's not the Kevin McCarthy politician that everybody thinks Kevin is, and they send him vile and angry tweets all the time.
All right. See you later.
Different guy.
Is Kevin okay? Does he cry
when
we do that?
He was just droning on and on and on.
Was just part of the bit.
Wasn't he drabby? He was just droning on.
Was he still doing the Rock movie? Or
and both movies sucked. That was the worst review.
Was he still doing the Rock movie?
No, he was on the Truth or Dare.
Hey, at least we have more stuff to add to the Rock montage of Kevin.
The Rock is in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But
Rock's silly.
He really has become a good dramatic actor.
The action really is what sells it. The story and script are absolutely terrible. But you have The Rock. He's perfectly physical for the role. Turn your brain off. Have some fun. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
I think The Rock is a good actor. I really do.
You love Dwayne Johnson?
I think he's a good actor. I think he's legit.
Now The Rock is a huge name. He's the second highest paid actor in Hollywood.
He's a really good interview.
And The Rock is fantastic in it.
If this version of The Rock from the 90s were to get into a battle with Hercules.
This is the kind of movie that you go into and you just grab a bucket of popcorn like EB does. And you sit down and just watch it. That's exactly what I gave it. 3.5 out of 5.
That's what I do with every movie.
that was probably the worst movie review segment we've had on in years.
Really?
Yeah, because
really?
Both movies suck. We had no interest. All he did was drone on. He talked forever. There's just nothing.
I mean, I'm going to watch The Wiz and The Caps. There's no chance of leaving my house to go see a 30-foot wolf climbing up a building in Chicago.
Right.
Does anybody have any desire to do that?
No.
No, we're not going to see that.
Coming up next, we do have a desire to talk to Neil Greenberg. He's going to talk about the Caps' loss to the Blue Jackets.
You think he can talk us off the edge? Probably not.
Hopefully. We'll see if he can. So Neil
off
Greenberg.
The ledge.
Yeah, off the ledge, yes.
At the edge. I believe he picked. Did he also pick Columbus?
Not sure. But we can ask him next. Yeah. Right here on The Fan, Neil Greenberg next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
When you hear Metallica's cover of Whiskey in the Jar, that means our good friend Neil Greenberg is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's the co-host of Crashing the Net right here on 106.7 The Fan with our friend Thommy DeLay. He also writes for the Fancy Stats blog for the Washington Post. Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing all right.
Neil. Well, I mean, we're not doing great. I mean, let's be honest.
Did you
brutal loss last night?
Yeah. Who did you pick going in?
I picked the Caps as a slight favorite, but they were one of the most likely to upset, along with the Sharks upsetting, and Sharks came out big last night.
Right. Are you a gambler? Are you a sports gambler at all?
Good question. I don't know if we've dived into this before.
Who does gamble?
I do. I almost moved to Vegas years ago to play poker professionally, but something kept me here.
I do sometimes. Hold on. Let's back this up. I did not know that you were an aspiring professional poker player in the wings, Neil Greenberg. This is interesting news.
Yeah, I play a lot of poker. I play a lot of craps, even though I know the odds are against me. But
that tells me you're a degen. That's what that tells me.
I think if you saw me play craps, you wouldn't say that, because I'm a pretty disciplined craps player. But I like the whole atmosphere of the craps table. I love
that.
It. I do horse racing. I like horse racing.
So you don't bet on hockey.
No, I don't.
Okay, because you know a lot about hockey. That's why I thought you might be a sports gambler. Anyway. So, like we said, I'm not surprised they lost this game. Not surprised they lost, or how they lost. This is just what they do. They make things interesting. I still think they can win this series. But they made some glaring mistakes, especially late. I felt really good. The guys are killing me. I felt really good after they scored those first two on the 5-minute major. I figured they
just
were gonna,
too early.
It was early. I felt like they were going to score, you know, 4 or 5 goals after that. But I don't know. What were your thoughts on the game last night?
Well, I thought that getting the 2 goals, especially really quick, according to Elias, that was the fastest 2 goal spurt in franchise history for Washington in the playoffs. I thought that they would at least be in command of the game, and the Blue Jackets are good. They got Panarin. They got Cam Atkinson. I mean, they got guys some shoots. So I didn't think that they were going to shut him out, obviously. But you get a 2-goal lead early, it frees you up to do a lot of things in terms of controlling the pace of play and just really bogging down and making sure that nothing else happens. And then they got the other goal Columbus did, and that's when I started to worry, because, like you said, it was – they were playing very undisciplined. You know, Washington's power play didn't look good last night. Thankfully for them, because Seth Jones was shadowing Ovechkin, they turned to Kuznetsov, and rightfully so, to try to create some stuff. But I didn't think Washington – I thought Washington looked good in the places that they looked good, and I didn't think they looked particularly bad in their low areas until – probably about midway through the third when things started coming undone.
What kind of tweaks does Coach Trotz make in Game 2 to get Ovi freed up, to get him away from Seth Jones?
Well, he just has to dictate the matchups. And, you know, Barry Trotz says that he doesn't like to do that. He just likes to put his guys out when he puts them out. But, see, to me, that's a mistake. You have home ice advantage for a reason. You have last chance for a reason. You should be dictating the matchups, especially for this team, because their scoring chance numbers, their goal output, all take a dive when they're on the road, because they can be matched up against relatively easy, right? I mean, you put your best defender on Ovechkin, and then if he doesn't score, it becomes really difficult for the Capitals to get any sort of momentum. So I would say the first thing is just get Ovechkin in a spot that you need him. The loss of Jay Beagle necessitates Nicholas Backstrom to take more defensive zone draws. So he's got to go 200 feet down the ice with his line mates. That makes it a little bit more difficult. That means that the third line, like Lars Eller and Brett Connolly, really have to step up, because without secondary scoring, I think it'll be very difficult for Washington. I mean, we saw what happens when they get secondary scoring from Devontae Smith-Pelly. They still struggle. So I really do think that there needs to be a tactical deployment change on the ice.
The DSP goal was set up by Verana with the helper there. Do we see more of Verana in Game 2? I think he only logged about 7 minutes of ice time in Game 1.
Yeah, his speed certainly is a difference maker, and I think everyone kind of took notice of that, so that would certainly help. I actually think that the Backstrom-Burakovsky line played really, really well last night. I thought that they were dominating their part of the ice. They were creating a lot of good looks, especially Burakovsky. Until close to the end there, but until he had those bonehead plays. But, Verana, look, speed is the name of the game in the NHL right now. If you have it, especially if you have it outside of the top six, you can make a lot of good things happen, as, you know, Pittsburgh has shown, et cetera. So, hopefully they get him more involved as well.
Now, I don't know if you heard Trotz's answer. He was asked by someone about Grubby. Do you have that ready? Do you have that ready, Valdez? Let's play this.
Give me one second.
All right, we're going to play it for you because we were talking about it, and I asked the other guys. I said, "How do you guys feel about Grubby, and how do you think he played?" And they, I think average is probably the best answer. But this was Trotz's response when asked about Grubby last night. Listen closely.
Barry, you gave over here. You gave Phil Grubauer a start tonight. What were your thoughts on his performance, and do you go back to him for Game 2?
Well, that's right now I'm going to reevaluate that your question if we go back. I think right now that Phillip's body of work was good. I thought he was fine. I mean, where I'm going to sit down, we'll reevaluate all the goals. We'll reevaluate our team and where we're at, and we'll go from there.
Not like he came out and said Grubby was great, not making a change. You know, that's not the reason we lost. He comes out and says we're going to reevaluate, and he was fine.
I think he was fine. He didn't win the game for him. He didn't lose the game for him.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that response? Lukewarm.
I think
at
it's
best.
A terrible idea to not back up your goaltender publicly, or at least give him the feeling that he's the guy. I mean, if you have two goaltenders, you have none. And if Barry Trotz thinks that he can bounce back from Holtby to Grubauer, I don't think that that's a recipe for success. We've never seen it in the playoffs, at least in the modern era. A little bit surprised. I thought Grubby had some really good saves, and then I thought he had trouble on the shots that you'd think that he'd have trouble on. I mean, two of the three goals against were on high-danger chances, which are high-danger for a reason. So if that's what he's going to be judged on, I think that's probably a little bit unfair considering how the team in front of them. And, you know, one of the keys to the game I talked about even before the series started was it doesn't really matter who's in net. This defense gives up a lot of scoring chances. They give up a lot of odd man rushes. They do not make it easy on the netminder, no matter who it is. So I think Barry Trotz is way better off just picking his guy and going with it, for better or for worse, and then just at least get that mental part of it out for the goaltender, because they got so much other stuff to worry about in the playoffs.
Is Panarin going to skate by 99% of NHL defensemen on the game winner like he did with Dmitry Orlov last night? Was Orlov just like in an impossible situation there, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing that to everybody this season. You look at where he creates his chances, how he goes about and creates them, and what he does for his line mates. And this is a kid that's probably one of the most unknown superstars in the NHL right now, right? I mean, I would probably put him up you know, we talk about Kopitar. If he were to play on the East Coast, he'd probably be a huge superstar. I would say, you know, Alexander Barkov is also of Florida is also in that class. But you know, this kid is doing a lot of good things for Columbus. And the danger, though, is if you follow him too closely, that's where like Cam Atkinson will really burn you. So he causes a lot of matchup problems, especially for the Caps defensemen. And, oh, by the way, they may be down a defenseman because of the injury that happened last night. That's just going to make it way harder.
Do you think Biggs is going to play in Game 2?
I don't know. I'm waiting to hear. I really don't know. I usually rely on Isabel for that type of stuff. I haven't seen anything yet.
Right. Because it
would be a big help.
They definitely need him.
He's going to get a nice deal from the Caps or somebody else because of his face-off prowess, his penalty kill. I mean, he's going to make some good coin on his next contract.
Yeah, I doubt it'll be here. I think at least the philosophy that, from what I understand it, for the organization is you don't really have to pay your fourth liners big bucks. Now, somebody might, but I would also I would caution them to doing that. I think the deal he got is probably pushing the envelope. What does he make, $1.2 million? In terms of a fourth liner, they probably can get somebody else for at least that much or cheaper to do something similar. But I think the key, as I said earlier, for Beagle was he takes a lot of the defensive zone draws, which, you know, you can't have Kuznetsov take those draws. So really, Backstrom is your only other guy to do it. But then that takes him out of the offensive zone draws where he can more easily create and help his teammates score points.
Every time we become tight with a player, they leave.
Right.
Don't have
him on your show. You should get Brooks Orpik on the show. I think that would make a lot of Caps fans
that
happy.
That would definitely make Caps fans
I mean, think
happy.
About it. We had Leik on for a year or a couple years. He left. Then we had Alzi. He left. We got Beagle this year. He's going to leave.
Yep. Hey. The show is where Caps players go to move on.
That's right.
Yeah, they do guest spots here.
Do you believe Game 2 is a must-win?
Yes, without a doubt, because this team's not as good on the road. And I think that Barry Trotz could be out-coached on the road, especially by a guy like Tortorella, who's been around the block a bunch of times. And who, you know, Trotz doesn't want to win, but Tortorella almost seems like he wants to humiliate you in a way. I mean, I think he's just like this evil genius-type villain coach that really revels in not only winning, but in winning in humiliating ways. And I think, without a doubt, I mean, it would be a must-win for any game, any team with home ice advantage. You never want to go down 0-2.
Neil, if the Caps lose the first-round series, I know it's a big leap at this point, or one game in. If they lose, that's unsurvivable for Coach Trotz, right?
Oh, I would say a second-round loss is also unsurvivable. I mean, yeah, this he's playing... I would say for him, it's Eastern Conference Finals or bust in terms of getting another deal. And to be honest with you, I'm not even sure that would necessarily get him to stay in the chair, just considering how everything's unfolded. But yeah, if a first round loss would be a first class ticket out of here.
Does a team like Columbus, you know, when they play on Thursday, it's only like an hour and a half flight. Do they stay around all day Friday and all day Saturday, or do you think they go back?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. My guess is that they go back. I don't think that they would be hanging around because that also helps nullify some of the home ice advantage, right? Because you go home, you kind of recharge,
right?
And then you're right back at it. And like you said, it's not that far of a drive. But I don't know for sure. I'm just guessing.
Neil, thanks as always. That's Neil Greenberg, sports writer and stats geek, not a nerd, for the Washington Post. He's also the co-host of Crashing the Net with Tom Daly right here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll talk to you again soon, Neil.
All right, guys. See you later.
Yep.
See you, man.
Thank you, as always. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, don't forget, John Feinstein joins us at 8 a.m. as he does every single Friday. So Fridays with Feinstein coming up at 8 here on The Fan. We'll be joined by John Feinstein coming up at 8 a.m. for Fridays with Feinstein. But right now we're going to take your calls, 800-636-1067. Where's your panic meter on the Caps after the Game 1 loss
to
the Columbus Blue Jackets?
So 10 would be full-blown panic.
Full-on, yeah, like you're just punting the series away.
Yeah, nuclear holocaust is upon us.
Yeah, you're not phased at all. You know it's playoff hockey. It's more specifically Caps playoff hockey, which of late means a lot of squeakers, a lot of nail biters, a lot of one-goal games.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. 5.
Five, right down the middle.
Right,
I'm going to go
middle.
Higher. I'm already at a 7.
Wow.
I'm at a full-on 7 at this
That's
point.
That's a little high for just
yes,
one game.
Sound the alarm, Valdez. Thank you. I'm at a 7.
I'm at a 5.
Just because, not because of this series in particular, because of all of the baggage
history.
And the history that goes
right.
along
I get it.
With the Caps. 7. A full-on 7.
But you also know that this is what this team does in the first round. They play long 6 or 7 game series. That's what
right.
it's what they do.
It's their
they
standard.
Play a lot of close games.
It's their default setting.
They make you sweat.
And they've lost game 1 in the series like 17 times.
Yeah.
And won 10 of those series.
Right.
So that's, you know, it's okay.
That might tick me down to about a 6.5 on the panic.
Only
meter.
It'll only take you down about a half a point.
Yes, I'm
at a 5.
Not full blown panic, but I'm
Jason.
I'm above the middle
panic
mark.
Level. This might surprise you. I'm only at about a 3.5
because Real. It's just one game.
Now it'll jump up to about an 8 if they lose on Sunday.
Oh, it's like a 9, 9.5.
Yeah, it'll yeah. jump considerably. Yeah.
Actually, it probably should be a 10 if they lose game 2.
Oh yeah,
it should be a 10. Then they have to go on the
is
road for 2.
Is there a 15 on the yeah. on the scale? Yes. 800-636-1067. The panic alarm is already being sounded.
All I would do differently is play a little smarter, eliminate the stupid penalties, try to be a little more efficient on the power play, maybe get some of those younger guys a little longer shifts, right, or a few more shifts.
Yep. Do you think Trotz grilled Burakovsky in the locker room afterwards?
I think the guys know.
I don't know.
Or, you
yeah.
know during
I don't
the film
know.
Breakdown,
you
I'm sure.
Know.
Film breakdown, they'll probably just say, you know, Burke, you can't do that.
He's not going to completely destroy him.
Yeah.
Because you need him.
I mean, he kind of called him out with his quote. He's saying,
yeah.
look, there's 200 feet of ice. There's no point in chasing Jones behind the net there.
That's fair.
Like, it puts us in a really bad spot.
But I doubt he just lit into him.
No, but, yeah, like you said, these guys know.
They know.
They botched it.
Right.
I mean, Barry Trotz
he's
fighting for his coaching life, at least here in D.C., in this series.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Tom Wilson had a quote in the paper.
Tom recognized
that
he screwed up.
That he said it cost us the game. My penalty cost us the game.
Yeah. And that maybe I don't need that
certainly
hit
hurt.
There.
I mean,
but
he's
they
charging.
Are bang
the
plays.
Charges.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know enough about it, but, you know, a lot of these hits, they're so borderline and they happen all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're right up against the wall or whatever, the boards, and it's split second decisions. So, I mean, I do kind of get it. Now, the tripping one, that was kind of silly. That was the Burakovsky.
What was the guy's
one, right?
name? Yeah. What was the guy's name who got the 5-minute major for Columbus?
Anderson.
How good does he feel that the team came back and won? Because if they had lost that game, it squarely would have been on him.
Give him the goat horns.
Correct.
Absolutely.
No chance the guy that got hit in the face with the puck came back, right? He was Dunsky.
I think he was out. Yeah,
he was done the rest of the game.
He didn't come back. He had a concussion.
You have to have a concussion. If you don't have a concussion on that, you're never going to
get
one.
He didn't come back.
It also shows you.
He may not be back for game 2 either.
The importance of having a visor, because the visor took the brunt of the blow of the puck. I mean, if you don't have that visor, that thing's hitting you right beneath your eyeball.
Yeah.
Or if not in your eye.
I thought it went below the visor. No, it hit the visor.
I think it smashed into his visor. And
the visor still pushed it back.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine. Here's Tom Wilson after the game.
Yeah, you know what, I'm just trying to finish my check there. I'm obviously not trying to take a penalty. And, you know, obviously I don't, it could potentially, I mean, that cost us the game. That's a big, like you said, that's a critical moment. So, you know what, I got to be better and maybe pass up on that hit. And we got the lead there, so maybe a big hit's not needed. And, you know, it's playoffs, just trying to finish kind of your checks and unfortunately take a penalty. They capitalized on a couple of their opportunities there in the third period.
Oh, the losing locker rooms are the worst.
Oh, I mean, the despise going in there.
Thank God that's not my gig. All right, let's go to John, Eastern Shore. John, what's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. I actually don't think there's no panic, and here's why. It's even amongst the fans, because unfortunately, it's what the Capitals do in the sense. They kind of remind me of the Braves in the 90s. But the Braves did eventually win the title. They win and win and win, but they just can't, for whatever reason, get over the hump. So I don't think the panic level is there because I don't think they're going to do it.
So he has such little faith, there's no sense of being panicked when you know they're going to lose anyway.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Right? That's what he was saying. Right?
One game.
It is one game.
Well, that's why I said I'm at 3.5.
He was a little hard to understand. Eastern Shore Waterman. Kramer.
Yeah, he's probably good friends with my uncle.
Probably was.
All right, let's go to Corey, Minneapolis. People calling from all over today. Corey, what's up, buddy?
Richards, good morning, gentlemen.
I'll tell you what kind of makes
me nervous about this whole thing. If you watch a Pittsburgh game the other night against Philly, first period of that, you saw those guys just going for the throat. It was all over. It wasn't even close. You compare that with the atmosphere and the way that the Caps approached game one in against Columbus last night, and it was night and day. It was like versus a team that knew how to do it and a team that just didn't really care and it wasn't really important enough for them to do it. I thought this team had grown up, that it was time that they were actually going to show that they could, you know, vie for at least maybe even get to the conference final. And it seems like the same old, same old. And that's why I'm at like 4.5 out of 10. What do you guys think?
Same old, same old. That's why he's not too... I just don't think in a game one situation you can get too worked up in a 7-game series.
Right.
But...
oh, you can get worked
if
up.
If I was a Penguins fan, I would be like at a 2.5 or 3. But because we don't have a great playoff history, that's why I'm higher. If I was anybody else,
yeah,
I wouldn't be at a 5.
Yeah, if you're a franchise that's won a Stanley Cup before,
go,
it's
one
been
game.
There.
Right. But our track record is that we tend to disappoint in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, usually it's in the second round, not
right.
in the first round. So that's why I'm not any higher.
Would you be more upset with a first-round loss mm-hmm. to the Blue Jackets
right.
or another second-round loss to the Pens?
First round
I've
loss to Blue
this.
Jackets.
I don't know which would be worse.
First round loss to Blue Jackets is worse because you're expected to win.
Yeah, I want to get to the Penn series.
First round, yes.
Yeah, but I don't know if my psyche can handle another soul crushing series
look
loss
at me.
To the Pens.
Look at me. They're not beating the Penguins, so don't even go
so,
there.
So if the,
don't even
so
go
then
there.
So then what's the point? What
That's
are we doing?
That's what
here?
I said a week ago.
What then?
That's what I said a week
if
ago.
If there's no hope of beating the Penguins,
there's no
why
hope.
Am I watching?
There's no
what,
hope.
What am I doing?
They're,
because you're a fan. Of course you're going
to
watch.
That's exactly what I said a week ago. And by the way, Wizards fans, we're going to lose to the Raptors, too. I know everyone thinks, oh, we 2-2 against them. Ah, we beat them 5 years
plus
ago.
Plus 500.
Yeah. They're plus 500.
Plus 500.
I'm becoming more and more convinced this weekend, in its entirety, it's going to suck.
It's going to be
a
bleak
tomorrow.
Weekend.
Man,
and then
you are real
then it's
negative.
It's going to be a freaking nail biter again on Sunday.
Monday. Are you here Monday?
I'm
or
here
on another vacation?
I'm here. I just got back.
You got like 12 vacation weeks.
Please. Right. This is coming
so from, Monday might be a really bad day if the Wizards and the Caps lose.
Really bad day.
And who's pitching the next day? We got Tanner and AJ. No, AJ. We're all out of whack now because AJ pitched like 2 days ago, right? We're all out of whack.
I would think they go Tanner and then Max.
Then Max. Okay, so that'd be good.
And then Strassi on Sunday.
So maybe we'll feel okay there with the Nats.
Yeah.
Those three guys are all solid, obviously. Let's go to Kevin in Woodbridge. Kevin, what's up?
Hey, guys. The panic meters is like 6.5, and it's not because they lost the first game. That doesn't really matter. It's hockey. It's 7 games. It's more about the way that they lost the game. When you get a 5-minute major in the first period and you get 2 goals and another 3 minutes left to the game in the second period and you don't pick one up and you still lose at home when they play without one of their best defensemen the whole game, your competitor, mm-hmm. that's a bad way to lose the opening game of the playoff series. So one game doesn't matter. The fact that Pittsburgh won 7-0 means nothing in a rivalry matchup coming into Friday. They could turn around and be 6-1 Philly.
That's true.
But it's the way they lost.
Right.
It's the way they lost.
I agree with
you're
you.
Right.
I didn't think the 2 goals were enough of an advantage out of that 5-man
no.
advantage. Like, I wanted 3.
I wanted
they came back, right? I think they had 234. I think that was the number to start the second period.
I was getting greedy. I wanted one goal from one of those first 2 power plays. And they didn't even come close to scoring on those power plays
right.
before the 5-minute.
Right.
All-you-can-eat buffet, like Joe B. Like,
I mean,
like to say last
if you day. Get that, you have to bury a team.
Absolutely.
You have to bury a team.
Yeah,
when
you have
get
to demoralize them and make them realize they have no hope
but they
of coming
were in,
back.
But they were in command of that game going into the second period.
Yeah. But there's 2 more periods. And then, you know, these teams, you know.
I know. I just thought that the Caps would score minimum 2 more goals in that game. And it's got the one.
If they could have just gotten that last clear before Jones buried the power play goal, they'd probably win the game. Game of inches.
Who do you think was better, Grubby or Bobrovsky?
I guess Bobrovsky by a little bit. I didn't think he was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
He made one really good glove save. I can't remember.
Yeah,
really up close.
Right in front of him.
I think it was on Cousy, but I'm not 100%.
I think it was on Cousy.
That was a nice save. But he outplayed Groovy by a bit.
I mean, I don't even know how he snagged that thing.
I don't know.
Because Cousy was like 5 feet in front of him.
Yep.
Miracle. And he fired it at about 100 miles an hour.
Pretty sick.
The second Cousy goal was spectacular.
It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
It was
I mean, you had two goals like that in a 30-second little span. You are feeling good there for a moment. But you also know there's a lot of hockey left. And it came back to haunt him.
By the way, Rom texted me. I don't know. I'm just putting Rom in here.
Why? Who cares what he texts?
I know. But he said, he goes, dude, any chance you can do a quick plug for Open Road Bar and Restaurant?
Why he did that to me, too. Now, because the guy gives him free beers.
Because the GM Reese hooks him. And I'll do it because my buddy owns the restaurant, my buddy Matt Carlin, who owns Circa 2.
Right.
But he's texting. Why did he just call in? He should just call in and give him a shout out. Why does he want us to do it?
ADs. That's exactly why.
For attention.
He's like, please.
Did he not send you a picture of him drinking there yesterday?
Yes, he sent it all.
See, there's the picture.
I know, we all get the same thing.
Loser.
Don't respond.
I'm sorry. I didn't respond in text. I'm in a good mood.
You're in a good mood because you won money, because you emotionally hedged.
I won $58.
Besides, I'm in a better mood today.
You're the one guy in the D.C. Metro in a good mood today.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
not the only guy who bet on Columbus.
And there are a few of them out there.
I mean, we had two guests last week who both picked Columbus for the series.
That's true.
It's toss-up. That's the way I felt anyway going into it. Toss-up. I thought the Caps would win.
To win the series. And I'm not going to veer from it, but I'm not as confident. How could you be?
I'll never, ever pick the Caps to win series on this show. It will never happen.
Let's see how John Feinstein feels about it.
100% chance. Well, I can already tell via Twitter he's amazed that Caps fans are freaking out. Why would he be amazed that Caps fans are freaking out? They've been down this road of playoff disappointment many, many, many times
before. I'll let you ask him that.
Yeah.
So Cakes, will you put money on that?
On what?
That you'll never bet on the Caps to win a series again? A nice little
I don't want to step
100
into
for everybody in the room.
Have you done that before?
I don't want to. No, I'm not stepping into a $700 hole like I did with the Redskins.
$20.
That's not going to happen. No, I'm not doing that. Because I could have a moment of weakness where I forget. Okay, I'm forgetful. Getting older. No, not lining your pockets with a stupid Caps bet.
And Cakes won't pick it because he thinks he has some sort of weird jinx powers, which you don't.
It's not that I don't have jinx. I realize there's no such thing as a jinx.
So just go with what you think's going to happen. What do you think's going
to
happen?
No, not picking the Caps. I can't pick the Caps to win series.
Why?
I just can't.
Because you think it jinxes it.
So why don't you pick the Blue Jackets?
It's just a bad look for me, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to get involved.
Why? I'm picking the Caps.
You can pick all the Caps series and wins that you want.
I won't pick them next.
I'm out of the Caps picking business.
Eric, you can't convince him. I don't even know why. You waste your time.
I can't convince him anything.
You waste your time and energy.
I know. But why? He has no impact on the series.
I understand
that. He feels like he does somehow.
I just don't like picking the Caps to win games and or series. I'm out of that business.
Because
he went on the ice and picked Philly that one game 10 years ago.
And he was right.
Stupid.
Did Philly end up winning that series?
They won the game.
They won the game.
I looked like an ass in front of a bunch of people.
That wasn't the playoffs,
Center.
Was it?
No, it was a regular season game.
Hey, that still affects you today.
Of course it does. Because I'm fragile.
I've never seen anything
like fragile mentally.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Coming up next, John Feinstein joins us here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.